Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Filling Your Account in Heaven is the title of this message. The apostles of the Lord asked the Lord, they prayed to the Lord that he would increase their faith. Luke 17, verse 5. And not only should we ask God to increase our faith, but also to teach us to be faithful to him. God will bless those who are faithful to him, those who are loyal and serve him obediently, that is, through thick or thin. No matter what the situation is, we are still, as did Job, worshiping him, saying, "Lord, though you slay me, yet will I trust you." Job 13:15. So in riches or poverty, through sunshine or rain, those who love the Lord will worship him straight through those trials and seasons, though they may not understand the why. Psalm 101:6 says, The psalmist says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that is, the Lord. His eyes are upon who? The faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. That's Psalm 101:6. Now, does this verse above that we just read not remind us of 2 Chronicles 16:9? Let's look at them. 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." So, understanding that our allegiance is to the one who made us and sent his only begotten Son into the world to save us, John 3:16, we understand that our total riches, the sum total of everything we have of substance, eternal substance, is Christ. All else is phantom and passing. The scripture says we don't look on those things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So these things we have in this world and we somehow believe we actually own, although they were all made out of God's creation, have no eternal value other than to use them now in obedience to God, and they are then turned into eternal treasure to fill our account in heaven, according to the 16th chapter of the book of Luke. So what is in our hand today was given to us by the Lord. That is, that which is currently under our influence and stewardship, it is temporarily in our possession. And we are going to give account to the one who allowed that to come into our possession as to how we use it and steward it. It is from our Lord that we will hear either, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now that's going to be eternally first and foremost, but it's also going to be on this earth as we steward correctly in the way that God has ordained us to steward it, the things that he gives to us that we have in our temporary possession. There's going to be a great joy of the Lord in us. Joy comes from serving God, the only really happy people on earth. And the Bible uses the word happy numerous times. And so we take it in the definition we find in Scripture, not just a temporary elation because of something that's happened, but happy is a word. The Scripture says, happy is the man whom the Lord, what? Chasteneth. Proverbs 3 verse 12 is one of those places. And so we enter into the joy of the Lord when we rightly steward the things of God. So we're either going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's Matthew 25, verses 23 and 41. Now, when we use this time that we've been given on earth, talents and treasures that God has given us for his glory, when we use these things, he increases that which we are made ruler over. And the eternal rewards begin to multiply and stack up. Everybody's reward in eternity is not going to be the same. There's going to be a great difference based on how you stewarded and how faithful you were to God with the time, treasure, and talents that he afforded you in this life. Read Jesus' parables in Matthew 25 for a greater and deeper understanding and revelation of this truth. Notice again in verse 23, his Lord, that is one of the men who were given talents to steward, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. This should be a biblical truth and principle that we should live by, that God requires that we're faithful with what he's given us now in order to give us more, not only now, but in eternity. As we use what he gives us for his glory, he's going to multiply it back to us. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9 that he gives seed to who? To the sower. Those that sow the seed they already have, he's going to give more. It's called reciprocity, back to them so that they can be ruler over more. And that's what we see in the parable. One of the things we see in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. So there were three men given talents, and two of them stewarded the talents faithfully for their master, and they were congratulated and promised more. And the other steward buried his treasure and was rebuked. Even that which he had been given was taken away from him. So think about this in light of eternity. Notice in verse 19, after a long time, that would refer to the return of Christ. After a long time, the Lord or the master, the guy who gave the talents out, that is, he had three guys that he invested in. And after a long time, he, the Lord, it calls him with the small L, of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. He brought into account what they had done, each of them, with the talents that he had afforded them to take and to go multiply. And that's what God's going to do with us. He is going to bring us before his judgment seat, Romans 14, 2 Corinthians 5, the Bema seat. And we are going to give account for that which he has entrusted to us in this life. Notice verse 20, Matthew 25. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. And here was the answer from the man who those treasures belonged to that he had given them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And the same was true for the one that had received two talents. And then let's look at the one who received one talent. His Lord answered unto him, verse 26, thou wicked and slothful servant. Let's back up to verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. So what he's doing is laying the blame of his own sins on this other man, the man who had afforded him the opportunity to take and multiply what the man supplied to him. But instead of doing that, he buried buried it, this unfaithful servant, and he put the blame for his own sins on the man that had graciously given him this money to go multiply so that they could both be increased and blessed. And perhaps we see that with a lot of people, and they blame God for things that they should be blaming and taking responsibility of all of themselves. The Bible tells us that there's no variableness with God. He is unchanging and faithful. He's divine. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15 and verse 17. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And that's what we see when the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with the man he had given one talent to. The man blamed the master who had given him that talent instead of taking personal responsibility and realizing that he was responsible to do what's right and not blame anybody else for his own omission or commission of sin. Notice, do not err, verse 16, James 1, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes from God and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. We're blessed to have whatever it is that God has given us at this point, and he requires and will bless us to multiply and to be faithful with that which he has given us. Notice, rewards in eternity are going to be based upon our faithfulness to God in this life. And there is an account for each and every one of us exclusively in our name in heaven. And we get that from the Bible. It actually tells us in Philippians 4 that we have an account. It uses the words your account. You have an account in heaven. And like the commercial says, what's in your wallet, right? What are we laying up today for eternal treasure? Philippians 4, verses 14 through 19 says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. So they helped Paul in his affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So only the Philippians had communicated. In scripture, that means giving. But only the Philippians helped him. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So the Philippians sent goods and blessings to the apostle from Philippi to Thessalonica to bless him. Not because, verse 17, I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So Paul's concern was not trying to get things from people just so he could have them. Perhaps we could say make himself rich in this world. No. Notice what he says, Philippians 4:17, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So a elder who is walking in the truth of God under the mighty hand of God is going to inspire, exhort, rebuke, and teach you concerning your account, quote unquote, fruit that may abound to your account, quote unquote. That's what he is going to desire. If he doesn't, and you get to heaven, you're going to look at him like, wow, look how much more if I was inspired to do and exhorted to do and taught to do that I could have now in heaven. I'm just speculating here, but I think you see the point. If you go forward in your mind biblically, all of us are going to have tears that Jesus is going to wipe away. And we just have to wonder if some of those tears are going to be for regret for not serving the Lord in a absolute abandoned fashion, diligently using everything he's given us for his glory in this life. Well, we still have that opportunity to sprint to the finish. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4. So verse 8, Philippians 4, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, we quote that verse many times, but in context, he's talking about those who gave. You see, we're going to reap what we sow. What are we sowing? Galatians 6, 7, and 8. So did you notice that God just told us that we, each of us, has an account waiting to be filled in his heavenly kingdom, heavenly domain? Yes, we do. That is, again, Philippians 4, 17. You have an account in heaven if you're a child of God. Now, what's in that account is going to be based on your faithfulness to God in this life. So Paul spoke in terms here of helping Christ's saints fill that reward coffer, if you will, that account to lay up treasure in heaven, as Jesus said to do, which shall never stop giving. The dividends are eternal. Only those dividends are treasures for you in all and for all eternity. Paul was blessed to receive the needed help, and yet he didn't just want their money. He desired them to be vested in that which is eternal, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will be the only kingdom standing when all the others are soon vanquished at his return. This is exactly what the Lord taught in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, when he said, "Lay not up, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Nobody can touch what's in heaven. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Also, Luke chapter 12 and chapter 16 are great chapters on stewardship. Notice Daniel 2:44, speaking of the only kingdom that's going to be left standing. "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." Notice, which shall never be destroyed. "And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand," here it is again, "forever." Remember, according to this truth and in coincidence with it, we read in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 11, 15. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen. As we come in for a landing, friends, I want to exhort you to pray today, as maybe we can do right now, and pray like the psalmist when he said in Psalm 90, verse 12, "So teach us, Lord," he's talking to the Lord, "so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Perhaps our prayer to God could be today, "Dear Lord Jesus, I am not my own. I am all yours. I'm bought with the price of your very and precious blood. Do in me as thou will, dear Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus. Please unite my heart to fear thy name and make me holy for your eternal glory and fruitful in an abiding relationship with you, in Jesus' name. Amen."
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.